In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Teresa Shenza Burnaby, my mother. We're few today. That's fun. It's fun to be few. Because most of the time, the most intimate moments, the most powerful moments of Scripture, in truth, are when there are very few people there to witness. Isn't it true in the most intimate things that we experience in our own human lives? The most intimate thing that you and I do as human beings? Most intimate expressions of love? We don't let too many people into that, do we? Intentionally so. So it is at Mass. Then, when there's just a few, somehow we get a sense of, it's just about me and Jesus at this time. There's no other distractions, it's just me and Jesus. It's not just you, me, and Jesus, but we get that sense of, like, it's the infinite creator of the universe is taking time just for me. I said yes, and maybe there weren't a lot of people who said yes in this moment, but I can sense in a very palpable way, just here with me. Think about that. Spend time with that. Because that's the way our Lord does treat you and me, Gabriel. That's the way our Lord does treat you and me, Mickey. Not so many people in that holy family, right? Today we have the great privilege of entering into the mystery of the visitation of our Lord. It is an intimate mystery. How many people are there who witnessed that mystery, the visitation? Maybe Zechariah was there. He doesn't talk, but he doesn't talk a whole lot in Scripture because, you know, the Lord shut his mouth. The 12 weren't there. Remember, they weren't. Some of them weren't even born. Just Mary, just Elizabeth, just Jesus, just John the Baptist in the womb, just Zechariah, I believe, just Saint Joseph, I believe. I believe he at least helped her get there, even if he went back on his own way, making sure that he would go by himself and make sure that she was protected from where she was staying there until she could be securely in that place. It's a difficult journey. We'll get to that in a moment. But an intimate thing that was going on, an intimate mystery for you and I to look at today. I just want to spend a little bit of time with that intimacy that we have. Where was Mary at the very beginning of this gospel? Do you know where that was? Where'd she begin the gospel? Cheating is good. Cheating is always good.
In the town of Judah. She was heading to Judah.
She was in that town. She was there at that place, but then she went to a different place. Went to the heights. Went to the mountain countries. That's what it says. Made haste unto the mountain places. She was there at home. She was there where she always was. She was there waiting in her family home while St. Joseph was building the home. Remember, that's the Jewish culture there, that the man of the house built a house for his bride, usually attached to his parents' house in some sort of way, build an extension there to the end where he would take his new bride to come and to live with him. And so she would wait there at her parents' house while he built physically a home for her. And so she was there, busy about the things that she was normally busy about at that time. She was doing her own thing. But what happened there was she was prompted by the Holy Spirit. Remember that everything that happens right here, she's just been visited by St. Gabriel, the archangel. Just been proposed to, not by St. Joseph, but by whom? The Holy Spirit proposed to her through the angel, the messenger, who is the angel Gabriel. Think of the angel Gabriel as God's best man. Think about that before. The angel Gabriel is God's best man. Because what's the role of the best man? It has nothing to do with the way we do weddings now. Nothing to do with that. Ceremonial role. Maybe somebody who gives a stupid speech at the end of it that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, really. Sometimes it does, but often it doesn't. He's a guy who just stands next to him and is in a position of honor. No, that's not the way that he's supposed to be, at least biblically, the way he's supposed to be traditionally. He's the one who goes and finds the beautiful woman that the groom wants, brings her to him, says, "Will you marry my good man? Will you fall in love with him? Let me tell you about him. Let me woo you for him. Let me tell you how great he is. Will you accept his proposal? He's willing to enrich you with all sorts of great things to take care of you. Will you accept?" And so she accepts. He goes, carries her to the place where she needs to go. He's the one who delivers the proposal. And then he takes her to meet the groom. And when they're met, that's when they get to consummate that relationship. They get to go through their vows and then consummate shortly thereafter. It all happens right here within the gospel. We're not going through the Annunciation right now, but that's when it happens, and that's the thing that immediately precedes us. She's just been proposed to by God Almighty, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. She says yes. Even though she doesn't get it. She says, okay, it's going to happen that way. Okay. That doesn't make any much more sense to me, but at least you said something. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. I'm going to do whatever he wants. And so in that movement to do whatever he wants, I'm the slave of the Lord. Okay. Overshadowed, she conceives. In that instance, that's their honeymoon there in an instant. Honeymoon in an instant. And where does she go immediately from conceiving? She remembers Saint Gabriel said something there that was really, really important. Here's the sign so you'll know that what I say is true. What was the sign?
Elizabeth was past her childbearing.
You know that Elizabeth, who's past her childbearing years, who's so super old, they call her barren. They make fun of her. Guess what? Even in her old age, she conceived. And I'm telling you this, and it's being shown this way. Why? So that you can know what's the quote for? What's the money line right there? So that you can know that there is nothing that is impossible for God. So she who's ridiculed for doing the one thing, the first commandment that's in Scripture that God gives there in Genesis right there, when he makes man and woman, the first thing he says to them as a command, the first commandment that he gives to humanity is what? To be fruitful and multiply and have kids. And so she's not abiding by what God said from the beginning, to have kids. Not because she doesn't want to. She's just not able to. But this was given as a wound for her to bear so often so that it would be known that nothing can be impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. She remembers that. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, she's prompted by God to go. Well, if God promised this, he told me about it, not just so I can have a special thought and say, hey, guess what, Elizabeth, good to see your kid there, but I knew you were pregnant. Nobody had to tell me that. I knew because God told me. She says, no, God told me because I need to do something with that knowledge. God speaks to us. It means that we got to act upon that knowledge and go and do something. He's not always going to fill in all the blanks. He's not going to say, okay, when I tell you this, then you're going to have to go do this, you're going to have to go do that, you're going to go do that. No, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, once we have that gift of knowing what it is that we want, then we say, well, what would God have me do in this situation? Then I got to do it. Then I got to go do it. He's not going to lay everything out for me crystal clear. Here's point A, point B, point C, point D. Here's 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way down the line. He says, this is what's going on. And leave us with our own counsel, relying upon him. Well, what am I supposed to do with that knowledge? What does God do with that knowledge? God knowing that there's a woman who's weak, who's old, who's in a tough place, who this is the first time she's ever been pregnant before in her life. What's going to go on with her? She needs help. I better go. So she goes. She takes off. It says she sort of makes sure she finishes taking care of everything at home first, checking on everything, making sure she gets all her chores done, right? It says make sure. She said, well, tomorrow would be a better day because it's already late right now, so I'll leave early in the morning. And that sort of, or maybe not real early in the morning because I should probably go and pray at the garden a little bit. And maybe I should go ahead and take care of a few other things that are here. I obviously got to have a little meal with my mom because she's great and everything like this, and check on Joseph and see how he's doing with building the house over there. And then, well, there's somebody else over here who's really close to me. You got to take, charity starts at home first, right? So I got to take care of those who are closest to me physically first. So maybe tomorrow, I'll do it the day after tomorrow. That's what she said, right? No. She left immediately. From the moment, the instant, she goes. She goes. She goes immediately. Like that. What does it show you? That she was inspired. That's the breath of God given into her. It's already overshadowed her. So she's already high with God living within her in that moment. And so she's docile to the Holy Spirit, meaning she's willing to listen. She hears it and goes at that teaching. She's listening and attentive. She's ready to leap into action in that moment. What did the Father say about this? That she was there, as I already spoke about. She was there sitting at home, knitting, doing her everyday chores. Everything else that she was engaged in before, just like any other normal day, praying, taking care of things at home, making sure the home life was well in that place. But she was ready to leap into action if, not really if, because she knew that it was when God inspired. When God gave a movement, when God presented a need, she's going to go and do whatever that was, no matter great or small that would be. She was busy about that home life. But then she left it all behind. Meaning what? She had a holy detachment from everything that was at home. Holy detachment. She means, yeah, I got all these things that I'm supposed to do. I got all these important things to do. But if God interrupts my life and says something, there's a beggar at the door that needs me, if there's a child who is sick in this way, if there's somebody who God has presented in my life that needs it, I go right then and do it. I could return back to those other daily tasks that I'm already keeping track of to begin with. But do the thing that God is asking me to do in the moment right now. Attachment, not to make sure that I'm accomplished, but to make sure that God's word is accomplished. That's what it means to be a slave of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be one who is a slave of Mary. Further on, we see that not only did she do that, but she embraced difficulties and hardships. Meaning she had the gift of fortitude right there, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which allows us to get through difficult situations. She embraced the difficulties of the journey. It was hard. It was long. It was distant. It was far away. Yeah, if you go with me on that trip to Israel, you go anywhere, anytime. You just even look at it on a map. You'll see, oh, it's not that far. It's not even a pinky's width away. That can't take that long. I mean, the distance between Fort Sumner and Santa Rosa, that's like a pinky. It's not very far. How long does it take? 40 minutes? Easy breezy. Well, that's about the same distance, I'm guessing, between where she was and where she needed to go. But it wasn't that easy back then. And so she embraced all those hardships that were there. She was not only embracing the hardships of making it there, but she was embracing the hardship when she gets there. What's going to happen? Who's going to be the one who's going to be stuck with all the ignoble tasks, the serving, the making sure that meals are prepared in such a way, making sure that the daily tasks that Elizabeth's not going to be able to do as a third month of her pregnancy is starting to get tough with her carrying that child that is within her. So she's going to have to do not just for her, but to put herself at the service of whatever it is that Elizabeth would need to be done there. Did it willingly. Did it quickly. Looking at the weaker, looking at the elderly, looking at the one who was infirm, looking at the one who was in need, doing everything for those who were there. She embraced all the difficulties that were engaged with whatever it is that God called without complaint. Just, it needs to get done. I'm going to do it. That's what love does. Love doesn't count the cost, right? So we see in here, within Our Lady's actions and the visitation, we see the three signs. The three signs. The Holy Spirit acting in a person's life. You know what those three signs are? Familiar with the three signs of how you know when somebody's acting upon the impulse, the inspiration, the breath, the strength of God? You know what those are? When we do an investigation of the lives of the saints, we look for these three things present in their lives. That's for you and me too. When you and I act in the Holy Spirit, we're living a life of sanctity, living a life of following God. These three things are always present when we're fully embracing what the Holy Spirit is giving us. What are those three signs? Easy to remember. There's the action is done promptly. The action is done joyfully. The action is done easily. That's what it is. That it's done promptly, that it's done joyfully, that it's done easily. We see that in Our Lady. I've already talked about the promptitude with which she engaged in this. She left immediately, right? She felt the movement, saw the need, was told this was going on, and goes immediately right there. There's a quickness. There's not a delay. There's not a checking on everything else to make sure that it's all done, that it's in the perfect situation. There's a no, this is the imperfect now. So go and do it in the now, because that's where God has called us to, not tomorrow or the next day. It was promptly done, but done with joy. She made haste. Not, wow, it's going to be tough, but somebody's got to do it, so white-knuckle it through. No, joyfully. Because this is what God is actually called to do. Okay, so my joy is to do the will of my Father. My joy is to be engaged in whatever it is, because I know that if he's asking me to do it, then that's pleasing to his heart. He's given me everything. And because of that, I know that he's loving me perfectly. So even through all the difficulties that I have in the midst of doing it, he's somehow going to take care of me. He's going to take care of those who I know. And even in my own defects and my own inability to know exactly how things need to get done, God's going to make up for that. Because he called me to do it and not somebody else. So even in my poor way of figuring it out, God's going to take care of everything else that needs to be done. And then easily done. That's something we struggle with, right? Struggle with ease of doing it. We don't want to do the difficult things. We don't want to do the hard things. We don't want to engage in the suffering. That's fine. It's normal. That's human. But that's not what God shows under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's easy in this way. When you and I struggle to do the good, the reason is it's because we're not really following the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We're following the inspiration of, I know this needs to get done, so I'm going to do it. That's the white knuckling through it. If that's where we're at, good. White knuckle through it. That's the beginning stages of following that. Because we do have to take that effort. But when we're really following the Holy Spirit in the perfect way that we're called to do, totally possible in this life, none distant from you or me or any of us, no matter who you think you it is that you are, it's hard at first because we're relying upon ourselves and we're extracting our soul from the spirit of this world and giving it to the Spirit of God. But when we've actually done it, it's easily. Meaning it's totally natural. Meaning the giving of ourselves to God in this way or to our neighbor or to our families or to the things that we have to do at work that God is actually calling us to or whatever it is easy because what does our Lord say? Matthew chapter It's 10 or 11, I get confused. It's that passage right there, 28 is the verse. I just get the chapter confused. It says what? It says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to you, in another translation, it says, the one we use for our scripture here in the church, is, so come those who you find life burdensome, toilsome, difficult. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, my responsibilities, my hardships on your shoulder, my labor on your shoulders, and learn from me, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The yoke of God is easy. He knows it's difficult in the exterior, and it's easy because he's doing all the heavy lifting. He's saying, just walk with me. Don't worry, I'm doing the heavy lifting. Just be with me here. I'm taking care of the rest. And when we love and trust the Lord in that way, it becomes easy because we realize that he's got it. Even in the midst of the sufferings that we're enduring, he's still got it. So it's easy to go through because there's no struggle against the movement of God. And so maybe you and I, maybe Gabriel, you're a saint, actually. I'm not. And so I struggle with that promptitude. Sometimes I want to do my own thing. I struggle to be joyful in it because I think I got to take care of myself in some sort of way. Maybe God isn't really going to take care of me. And so that strips from that joy because I need to fend for myself in my own mind. And it takes away from the joy that I engage with in the work. Or maybe it's hard because I am still won over by the world in some ways. And so it is difficult for me. But if we're not saints like Our Lady right now, that's fine. Because she wants to show us the way. Some of us here today are beginning a journey with Our Lord, beginning a journey with Our Lady to really offer ourselves in a generous way to make ourselves, what? Slaves of Jesus Christ. Through the hands of Mama Mary. It's a hard thing. It's the best. It's really hard, though. Because she'll take everything away. Our Lord will take everything away from you. But in that, he gives you his everything. He'll take Gabriel's nothingness. He'll take Mickey's nothingness. He'll take Father Burnaby's nothingness. Even though it seems like a whole lot to you and me. He'll replace it with all of him. And Our Lady will guide that and direct it. And so when you and I don't know what the next step is, then we can make demands of Our Lord. We make demands of Our Lady if we're slaves of Our Lord, if we're slaves of Our Lady. A slave doesn't do anything on his own or her own. Does everything at the behest of the master. Waiting for the master to say move. A slave doesn't worry about what he'll eat or drink. A slave doesn't worry about whether he'll have the strength to do it or not. If the slave has a good master, the best possible masters. So he's going to take care of everything. And so you and I don't have to worry about those things. And if there's something that we lack to be able to do the work that's there, what do you say? It says, ask it of me. Ask it of me. Ask it of me. It's something I'd like you to take. If you don't got one, I just think we got some in the back of the church. I'm sure both of you do. To take that miraculous medal again. Remember, as we preached about it so many times, what does Our Lady the Miraculous Medal say about those rings on her finger that aren't giving off light? that aren't giving off graces. She says, those are the graces that I desire to give to humanity, but do you remember why it is that they don't receive, why individuals don't receive the graces that Our Lady wants to give them? Why? Mommy knows. Because they do not ask for them. Because they just don't ask. Probably because they don't trust that I really want to give it to them. So ask it. Ask it. Yeah. Our Lady in our visitation shows us all those things. I like promptitude. Mama Mary, make me prompt. I like joy. Just convict me of the love of God for me so that I don't have to worry about anything else. When things are not easy for me, and I know they should be easier in doing the will of God because He's going to take care of me, give me the trust in Him so that I'm not struggling within myself against the Lord. But just to let Him win. These are the things that our Lord already desires to do in us. Mary is our answer. Mary is our example. Let's go to her. We began the Mass praying that Ave Maria Stella, Hail Star of the Sea. We'll close the Mass the same way, praying it instead of in the traditional Latin, to pray it at the end of Mass in the traditional English for our comprehension. Mary, You who are so prompt, so joyful, You who do the will of God with such facility and ease, pray for us, poor sinners, who are able to ask You for everything we need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.